Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action, episode 56. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, you had a huge weekend in New York. You actually was more like a five-day extravaganza, didn't you?
Yeah, long trip with the family out. We're celebrating the triplets' 30th birthdays, which all fall on the same day, coincidentally. And we made it out Saturday morning, got to see my hometown Pacers play at Madison Square Garden Saturday night. And then awesome. We caught a Rockettes show on Sunday and followed it up with the Jimmy V Classic on Tuesday night. Got to see number one Louisville go down to Texas Tech in a masterful performance by Chris Beard and company. And then the Indiana Hoosiers held on for a three-point win over UConn. So
that is that's a great weekend there. I did watch that Texas Tech game. They had lost to DePaul a week before, so they actually had lost three straight, I think, and then they got back on the horse by beating number one Louisville. So that's good.
Yeah, definitely a surprising outcome in that one. How was your weekend?
Big weekend. You know, I think I might have told you last week we had the big holiday party for my company.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went full Wegs on this trip and was out every night, Wednesday, Thursday, and then decided to stay over the night, Friday night, which was not in the original plans. And I pulled out my full CNC Music Factory moves and my Latin dancing. And I was, of course, completely drunk. I had to get up at 5 in the morning to catch my flight in the morning. And then I did go out again on Saturday night. So it was a heck of a weekend. I was kind of panned for it on Sunday, just kind of getting through the day. But had a decent gambling weekend. I was only 5-3, but because of the way I bet, I you know, won some units. So nice. Plus a couple futures cashed in, which was nice. So
the college football futures or were they NFL?
Bet Online already paid out for the Bengals, which was nice. And then it was Miami. I think had also paid out University of Miami.
Okay.
So yeah, I did have a futures come through. I'm still waiting on the Dolphins to pay out. They might actually still exceed their win total. They're 4.5 for my bet. I think, what, have they got 3 wins now? So it's going to be a little bit of a white knuckle for the last couple weeks. And then the Raiders were supposed to have bested. They probably will do it this week. They've got 6 wins. I would get a push if they stayed at 6. So, yeah, most of the futures are out for the most part now.
Well, good. Yeah, I ended up positive for the weekend as well. Saturday was fared not so great with college football games, but then got a lot back on Sunday in the NFL, and then Monday and Tuesday night college basketball were pretty profitable as well. So all in all, good weekend for both of us, it sounds like.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll talk about our most important stuff later, but yeah, we definitely did well in that contest too. So let's go over the episode quickly. We have a legislative update in your new state, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. We'll go over our college recap from last week and briefly touch on the playoff odds in college football. We'll hit college hoops with the Action Power ratings and then some big matchups for the weekend. Talk about the NFL, tons of injuries this week to speak of. Briefly touch on the Wegs Index and then jump into the Circa. And as I've already referenced, we're doing pretty well, but I want to leave that as a spoiler. So
yeah, for sure.
So legislative update, you want to run it down in Michigan? You might have a chance to bet in legally in Michigan soon.
Yeah, breaking news yesterday as I was traveling through the airport, I saw the headline pop up. The Michigan legislature approved a bill 35-3 that approves the sports gambling measure, and they're now the 20th state in the nation to have some form of legalized sports gambling. It's expected the governor is going to sign the bill into law by the end of this year, and everywhere I was reading suggested that we should be able to be betting by the time of the Super Bowl.
That is awesome, because that'll probably be faster than Illinois being able to bet, even though it's been legal for longer. So Congratulations.
Thank you. I did read that they are likely going to beat Illinois into actual gambling, and they do also have the mobile wagering, which is key. It's now the 8th state out of the 20, which has some form of mobile wagering, which is obviously, as you know, a huge difference maker.
Do you know if they've iced out, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel at all, or is it just going to be, hey, you pay $100,000, put your app out and see what happens?
Yeah, I did not believe that they are locking out any of those operators, so I fully expect DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet, all those New Jersey operators, and in Indiana to open up here as well.
That's awesome. It's always good to have more outs, and obviously those operators that are across the country, which is nice. I'm not sure how it all works, but I would hope you could select a state and maybe it'd be easier instead of having 5 apps per state if you're using those cross-state apps or something.
Yeah, actually, coincidentally, when I was in New York this weekend, I tried to log into my FanDuel account, and I did get a message that popped up and said, you're breaking the law. You're actually in New York and not New Jersey. So it was interesting that it seemed to be the same login and same app, in fact, but would have worked if I was in New Jersey and not just across the Hudson. So I was close. Yes.
It's funny because New York, like Illinois, it is approved in terms of legislation, just not the regulations. So they don't have the infrastructure yet. So it's kind of sad that coming to the bigger cities in America, you can't bet yet. But, you know, it's okay. Well, we've got our ways to do it. So,
right.
Well, good. Well, let's go into college football recap. You know, from our picks last week, not so great. Personally, I guess I went 2-2. You know, Clemson did cover. You know, we talked about those guys. They are just a machine, and maybe we can talk about their odds in a minute. But they were laying 28 points and still covered against Virginia. That team hasn't not covered a game by over double digits since I don't even know when. Since maybe the rest of the season. I mean, I guess they beat A&M by double digits. It was just they didn't cover the number in that game.
Right, yeah, non-cover. And then the North Carolina game was really the one that was close throughout the season. So definitely another dominating performance by Clemson over the weekend.
Exactly. One we were not really good on was the Friday night matchup, Oregon against Utah. Utah was laying 2.5, and we thought that would be an under game at 47.5. Oregon came out up-tempo, which I understand they did in the third quarter of Arizona State to get back in that game, and they continued to roll with it, and they just kind of ran Utah out of the building in the end. It was closer than the score indicated, but they won handily in that game.
Yeah, 37-15 was the final, and it must be said that Oregon really was probably the right side from the very beginning. They're up 20-0 at halftime and really kind of held on at the end, and it probably would have stayed under two if it wasn't for two long runs broken by C.J. Verdell, one with about 5 minutes left and then a second one with 3 minutes left, which sent the game over the total. So thankfully, it was also on the first half, so it wasn't too big of a factor for me personally.
Good. Well, one of the things we'll talk about, we're not going to go into bowls in this episode, but Utah falls from possibly qualifying for the playoff to not even making the Rose Bowl. They're going to the Alamo Bowl. Oregon gets the nod in the Rose Bowl now. So it's just a huge fall from grace for them. It's kind of a shame. We like that team, but hey, man, they had their chance and they blew it.
Yeah, for sure. Now they have to go play Texas in a similar role that they had last year, facing off a team that they thought would be in the playoff and just fell short.
That's right. One of the ones we were on the right side, at least, Baylor, they were getting 10 points. They did stay within that point, that total. They actually ended up by losing, pushing it to overtime. You know, it was kind of an interesting game. I don't know if you got to see it. It's against Oklahoma. Baylor had that long pass that got – he didn't end up scoring the touchdown. If he scores there, they could probably win that game, right? Because then it got held to the field goal, and then that overtime, and then obviously Oklahoma won in overtime. But Baylor with their third-string quarterback covers the number, and Oklahoma's entering the playoff, but not looking like a strong entrant.
Yeah, I actually missed the second half of that game. We were out and about, but it was definitely a big win for Oklahoma because it pushed them into the playoff with all the losses around them.
Exactly. One that we, I guess we ended up pushing on was we really like Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, against App State, but this one did not work out so great, right? We didn't push, did they? Did they push?
Yeah, it was a 7 that we gave out here on the podcast, and that was the closing number. Even though Appalachian State jumped out to a 21-0 lead, that right. UOL team really kind of held in the game, and they closed it to within 7 at the final score. I'm not sure if they had a chance to tie or not.
7. Yeah, I guess you're right. It was within 7. I don't know if they did, but it was much higher scoring than we expected, which is unfortunate. I did lose that bet for sure.
Did you? You had the under as well?
I did. I did the under. I think it was like 57.5, and they just sailed over that. So did not work out for me, action.
All right.
The last one was Wisconsin against Ohio State. Kind of curious game, really. Kind of similar to the first time they met, where Wisconsin actually was – were they winning at halftime?
No, Ohio State was up 10-0, I believe, at the half of the first game.
Of the first game, right. But in this game, wasn't Wisconsin winning this game?
Oh, yes. Sorry. It was 21-7 Wisconsin at halftime.
Right. So it was kind of shocking to me that Ohio State didn't come out and blow their doors off. But in the second half, Ohio State did what they did. They ended up winning the game by 13, so they didn't cover the 16.5-point spread. So I guess the right side was the Badgers from the beginning. It just was a little shocking to me.
Yeah, and was really kicking myself because Ohio State had a chance at the end. They were driving with about 3 minutes left, got into the red zone, and actually had first and goal from the 2, with a chance to punch it in the end zone and cover this number and push the game over the total at the same time. And the Badgers held tough and held them to a field goal, which landed on this final score of 13 and a total of 55.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, just briefly, that sets up the Final Four now, which I guess the first game is going to be played on the 28th. Coincidentally, my game night, party night, which is probably not a good scheduling spot for me, but I'll have it on. The two games then will be LSU, which miraculously jumps to the 1 spot ahead of Ohio State, despite Ohio State winning. And they're going to face off against Oklahoma. And then the big game is Clemson against Ohio State. So LSU is favored by 11. That's not a surprise against Oklahoma. And they're playing in Atlanta, I believe.
Yes.
And then Clemson is favored against Ohio State, which is a little surprising to me. I know that, you know, I mean, they're both great teams. Ohio State, metrically, we've shown that they're better. And obviously Clemson is the defending champs, but I don't know. It's an interesting spot there.
Yeah, both of these games are going to be really fascinating. And actually, looking now, it appears LSU has jumped out to a 13.5-point favorite. So money flowing in on Joe Burrow and company.
Speaking of Joe Burrow, your ticket will cash. What was the ticket that you got with Burrow and the Heisman?
Joe Burrow to win the Heisman at 18-1 earlier in the season. So that one is certainly looking like a winner, hopefully.
There's actually speculation. There's props out there if he's going to get all the first place votes.
Wow.
So care to double down and see if he can get them all?
No, I don't think so. I do see here, though, at BetOnline, you can bet that he'll break OJ's record of 855. And you get 3-1 on the yes for that.
I have heard about that. Well, that's something. I mean, it's possible. It's really a race for second place in this situation. I don't know. I mean, it's awesome you got in on Burrow early. I did not, obviously. We discussed it on the podcast, but good for you. There's tickets out there at 100 and 200-1 on that guy to win it. So I heard, at least at the South Point, they have a couple large wagers out there that they're going to have to pay out on at that 100 or 200-1, and it was like $100. So they're going to be paying some cash.
That is some serious cash.
Wish it was me. But well, anyway, we'll talk a lot more about the Bulls next week and maybe before the big games the following week. We'll figure out the schedule over the holidays. A lot of exciting games coming up. And, you know, generally speaking, and I know VSiN's putting out their guy this Friday or whatever, you know, a lot of it for this Bulls is really focusing on motivation and which players are playing. So you really can't lock in too early on these point spreads that you see right now, can you, actually?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. This year, even more than others, I feel like there's coaching movements. You have players all over the college football landscape who are questionable to even suit up for their teams. So, and like you said, you can kind of throw out the numbers too. There's a lot more that goes into handicapping these games than just how the team performed throughout the year. Motivation's the number one factor, and it really doesn't give you too much of an edge to bet them too early. Although you will see it when you start looking at the board that a number of these games have moved by 4 or 5 or even 6 points in some cases. So at this point, if you haven't bet games already, it's probably best just to wait and see where the information lands as we get closer to game day.
Yeah, the one other thing I guess I should have mentioned is that there's also a lot of coaching changes because a lot of the head coaches move and even the coordinators move between teams. So, you know, there's a lot of factors to factor in when you pick these teams.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, well, let's transition into college basketball. I know action's been heating up in college basketball. I have not made any bets as of yet, but I'll start transitioning soon. Why don't you go over your action power ratings for this week?
Well, a big shakeup at the top this week as the Ohio State Buckeyes and Chris Holtmann have risen to the top of the heap, and they're now number one ahead of number two Duke, number three Gonzaga, and number four Michigan State. Quite a leap for this team as they missed the NCAA tournament last year, and they're playing extremely well right now. I think 8-1 ATS.
That's right. They are playing at a great level. The Wessons, is that the team?
You got it.
Caleb, I don't know. Who's the other Wesson?
Andre.
We actually saw them in the Big Ten tournament last year, if you recall. Mm-hmm. They played really well in that game. You know, they've obviously matured, stayed another year, and they're playing really well. So a little bit of a surprise, but that Big Ten is loaded this year for sure. You also have Maryland and Purdue in the top. I mean, Michigan. I mean, they're practically all Big Ten teams out here.
Yeah, 5 is Louisville, which was a little underwhelming the other night. I couldn't really put my finger on what they were doing poorly. They certainly didn't shoot well against Texas Tech, and I'm sure the Tech defense had something to do with it, but certainly still a national title contender. And then you've got Kansas at 6, 2 Big Ten teams at 7 and 8, Purdue and Maryland, and 2 SEC squads to round out the top 10, Kentucky and Auburn.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised to see Auburn that high. Maybe they rebound well. They're a little bit lower in KenPom, but you know how I feel about Bruce Pearl. But he does get his team to play well, but we'll see when they enter in the conference schedule. The SEC is going to be a pretty good league this year. Not a lot of Big 12 teams at this moment. You know, Texas Tech, you saw them live. They obviously have lost some games, so they've been down the chain a little bit. There was a big game this past, well, I guess it was the same night that you were there. I think it was Baylor. Baylor played somebody good. Yeah. They played the Zagger, right?
It was Butler.
And then did they come out on top in that game?
They did end up winning the game by a point. I saw that Baylor was up big early in the first half, but Butler battled back and they lost the game 54-53, I believe.
Yeah, that's a team that, you know, we don't talk much out of the top 10 right now, but that Butler team must be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they went down, they're playing the SEC, now they're playing, you know, Baylor. I mean, they're scheduling everybody. They're trying to make the tournament for sure, so watch out for this team when they hit conference play because they really could be a team to watch.
Yeah, definitely a dark horse in the Big East. I've got them ranked at 16 here in my power ratings.
Yep, like KenPom 13 before that Baylor game. So what are these matchups you highlighted for Saturday? There's some M1 Sunday for this weekend.
A couple of big games Saturday that I'm intrigued to watch. Gonzaga goes on the road to play at Arizona. And so far this season, I've been pretty impressed with the Arizona team. They are scoring the ball really well. They have an efficiency margin that is in the top 10 on offense. And that freshman, Nico Mannion, is quite a player. And they're facing off against a pretty good Gonzaga team. So can't wait to watch that one. I project that Gonzaga will be about a 1-point favorite on the road.
Okay. So these are obviously the one downside with college basketball is usually you can only get a line like the day before. So a lot of times when we talk college basketball, we're projecting lines. Are you getting that out of KenPom or where are you getting that figure?
That would be my spread based on my power ratings, what I would make the game. So I may look to evaluate that if for some reason Arizona is catching a few more points than that, I would probably lean to Arizona in that game. I think the home court advantage is going to be huge in this one.
Gotcha. Okay. You've also got Oregon at Michigan. I think this is an awesome game. The Wolverines have come out of the gates faster than I expected, actually. I don't know. I didn't do the research. Sorry, everybody, but I heard this on a broadcast. Did not cross-check it. I understand that it's possible that Phil Martelli is an assistant for Juwan Howard. Is that, have you heard this?
Yeah, it's true. I saw him on the bench the other night.
Yeah, so he's a hell of a coach. Maybe he's one of the reasons why this team's pretty good. I'm not saying Howard can't coach, but Martelli is obviously a hell of a coach. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, you know, great bench coach like you have in major leagues for baseball. So, but yeah, they've come out of the gate strong, and they're going to take on an Oregon team. And what do you have that line for that game?
Well, it looks like they're rated about even. Oregon is 1 point better on a neutral. And this game being in Ann Arbor this weekend, I would probably give the edge to Michigan. I would list them as probably a 2-2.5 point favorite at home. But to be honest with you, I'm not that impressed with this Michigan team. I know they played really well down in the Bahamas, but they did go on the road last night, Wednesday, to Champaign and get pasted by a pretty good Illinois team. So I know it's kind of an interesting game. Oregon certainly doesn't blow you away on offense either, but I think that one's probably going to be pretty low scoring ultimately. I'd probably side with Oregon on that one.
You know, I like the Ducks. Love that athleticism they have. They're really good, long defenders and everything. So I like that too. But I haven't seen enough to say at this point. But for sure, an intriguing matchup in Tennessee. Memphis is going to the Vols. You know, that's a battle in Tennessee. Memphis got all the shine, but of course had all the controversy early in the year. And the Vols have surprisingly played pretty well. They've come back, even though they lost all that talent. Where do you see this game?
Yeah, I haven't really looked at this one in terms of picking a side yet. My numbers would make it Tennessee -4 at home.
Okay.
They're pretty good on the boards again this season. It seems like this Volunteer team always hits the glass. And, of course, you have Memphis, who is still without their big freshman, Wiseman. Just needs to sit out a few more games before he returns. So probably would lean to Tennessee, but I'm not really interested in betting this one at this point.
I gotcha. The next one you've got on here is Seton Hall at Rutgers. Mighty Rutgers. I guess Rutgers played better the other night. I don't know if they won the game or not, but I heard they're playing better. Mm-hmm. So Seton Hall is one of these teams that we've highlighted in the, you know, the preseason episode. They've got really good players in Miles Powell. You think that they're going to be favored on the road at Rutgers?
Yeah, it looks like they would be about a 3-point favorite on the road at Rutgers. And Rutgers is a team that's playing very good defense. Last night they did end up beating Wisconsin on their home floor there in Piscataway. And I think this is going to be a sneaky, difficult matchup for Seton Hall. I'm not sure I'd be interested in taking the points with Rutgers in this case, but definitely one I'm interested to watch.
One thing I heard about the Rutgers team on the broadcast the other night is they have like five guys who are all 6'5 or 6'6. So it's one of those kind of positionless teams that they can defend anybody unless they have like a 7-footer out there. Mm-hmm. And so they're long defenders, and that you see that a lot, especially in college. Certain teams can make that work as long as they get enough points to score, as long as they have enough scoring. But I like that style personally, especially in college. And then the last matchup for Sunday you have highlighted is Ohio State, this team we're talking about, against Minnesota. Minnesota traditionally has been pretty good, but they're not starting off the season that strongly. And at Minnesota, you're seeing this as Ohio State being a pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah, I've got Ohio State listed at about 11-point favorite, and I suspect that you may see a number that's a little bit shorter than that when the odds actually come out on Saturday afternoon. I'm going to be looking to play on Ohio State in this game. I think Minnesota is having a down season, and like we mentioned earlier, that Ohio State team is playing really well, so I'll be backing them again on Sunday.
Yeah, just for reference, earlier in the week when I pulled up Minnesota's KenPom rating, it's like 76th, which is really low. So, you know, that's hopefully you're right, and hopefully the early season action is right for Ohio State and they keep rolling. Okay, well, let's we'll talk more about college basketball going forward, I suppose. But, you know, this is just light touches. Get to the big ticket, the NFL. We've only got three more regular season weeks left. before the playoffs. You know, we go over week 14. Man, there were some huge games this week. That Saints-San Francisco game's one of those instant classic games. I didn't see, you know, whatever it was, 96 points? How many points were scored?
94.
94 points. 48 to 46. I mean, that is nuts for those two defenses.
Yeah, crazy scoring output. I think I texted you on Sunday that I was on the under in that game, and that was a clear loser as those teams eclipsed it before halftime.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, it makes sense. And then you had, obviously, the Ravens keep rolling. They went up to the Bills. The Bills kept it interesting, but the Ravens still won and even covered that game. And then you had the showdown with the Chiefs and Patriots, and really it wasn't much of a game. I mean, the Chiefs just came in there and had no respect for Brady and the Patriots in that game.
Yeah, Mahomes really didn't shine too much in that one, only 283 passing yards and the lone touchdown. But the Chiefs played really well, and I think that we can talk some more about the demise of the Patriots offense. Again, another lackluster performance.
You've been talking about it since week four, I think, of the season, that this Patriots offense just isn't good. And we've touched on a little bit that they don't have outside receivers, but obviously it's this time of year that they really miss Gronk. Mm-hmm. And he can't come back. It's official. He can't come back now. So they're going to have to find creative ways to score points. As good as that defense is, I don't see this team beating some of the big boys if they can't score 21, 25, you know, points a game, you know? So yep. What other matchups? There were some other big ones, right? Maybe not. I guess the
Rams.
One on Sunday night.
Yeah.
The Rams. That's right. Yeah, the Rams-Seahawks. You were on this. I was a little surprised that the Seahawks got totally blitzed in that game. Really wasn't close. In fact, Seattle didn't even score an offensive touchdown in the game. They scored a defensive touchdown. The Rams rolled, and maybe they got right playing against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big way to handicap these Rams games is to see if that opponent can get pressure on Goff, because he's a different quarterback when he has rushers in his face, and Seattle just wasn't able to do it on Sunday. So certainly something to monitor going forward. And the Rams already a big line move in their direction this week.
I know. Talk about that in a minute. So a couple injuries of note that may affect handicaps. You've got, you know, Mike Evans is likely not going to play this week with a hamstring injury. Calvin Ridley's out for the year. You've got, it looks like Lamar Jackson is playing tonight. This will air after that. But Mahomes looks like he's going to play, but he did injure his finger. I guess Henry had a hamstring injury, but he'll probably play. You know, just a lot of people getting dinged up late in the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's that time of season, right? They're 14 weeks through and only a few left to play, so I'm sure a lot of these guys are playing with little bumps and bruises.
And, you know, Le'Veon Bell bowling the night before a game, and then he's got flu the next game, and you get all those kind of guys, too.
Yeah, totally bizarre story out of the Jets camp again.
So weird. Well, let's go over the WEGS Index briefly. I'll go over the top teams. Finally, the Ravens are on top. They're 3.5 in the ranking right now, number one. 49ers, number two, at 3.7. Patriots at 4.7. The Vikings stay up there at 8.7. And then you've got the Cowboys at 9.2. I know. We can talk about that another time. The Chiefs 9.3 and the Saints at 9.8. So those are kind of your top seven teams, which besides the Cowboys makes sense. Obviously the Ravens have ascended on multiple levels. Their defense is getting better, and then they are getting a lot of turnovers. So that's the turnover differential really affects my index.
Okay. And looking here in DVOA, it looks like Baltimore is up to fourth rank on defense. So certainly a large turnaround after they brought in Marcus Peters to that side of the ball.
Yeah, they're only giving up 18.2 points a game. So, I mean, they're scoring 33 points a game. They're just destroying this league right now. We'll see if they cool off. They might have, we talked about maybe they peaked too early, but they're still rolling. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lamar Jackson hamstring injury certainly is not going to help the cause at all moving forward.
Right. Probably won't matter against the Jets today, but Let's go into the circuit tête-à-tête. I mean, let's face it, Action. We've taken our lumps this year in the circuit contest. Overall, I don't think you have our score. We're still, I think, below 500 for the year.
Correct.
But luckily for the circuit contest, we have the fourth quarter, and we went 5-0, baby. I mean, that's something to get excited about.
Yeah, definitely a hot start for us 2 weeks into the quarter. Now sitting at 9-1, which by my count is good for a tie for fourth place.
That's right. There's only three on top of us. Two are at the 10-0 mark, and then there's one at 9-0-1. So, you know, we've got a shot here. We were able to ride Tennessee again, Pittsburgh again. I know your jersey's on order. Cleveland did get the win. Washington came through for the second week in a row, right? And then San Francisco. So we went a little bit off the board from some of the consensus picks, and that worked out because I think the consensus either went 4-1 or 3-2. So we were doing okay there.
I believe it was 3-2 this week, but you're right. I think going with Washington and San Francisco were probably a little off the board, and they certainly both made us sweat too. I know the Washington game in particular felt like Green Bay had many opportunities to punch it in at the end and beat us.
Exactly, but they didn't, so yippee-ki-yay. Well, let's go over the spots this week. It's maybe not as clear to me anyway. Maybe you've got some ideas. Tonight's game won't be on our docket, but the Baltimore's a heavy favorite at home against the Jets, 16.5 points, total of 45. Ooh, that's a lot of points. Any thoughts on that game? I mean, obviously, this is going to air after the game's over, but I don't know if I lay that many points.
Yeah, I gotta lean to the Jets here, definitely. I plugged them into a teaser, and I've got them plus 21 on that side. But I'm looking at the screen now, and it's touching 17 at a lot of spots.
I know.
So I think that there's definitely a buy signal on the Jets when it gets to 17. I'll probably put in a little pizza money on that one.
That's right, pizza money. Me too. If it's 17, no doubt. So we got the next one is Tampa Bay. They are going to Detroit. Tampa Bay is a 3.5-point favorite, and the total's 46. You know, it's interesting. Tampa has played better. We kind of talked about it a little bit. They're, despite Jameis Winston leading the league, I don't know what's the all-time record for interceptions in a season, but he's got to be close. But he does have over 30 touchdown passes, and he's leading the league in passing yards. Without Evans, any interest in taking Tampa on the road at Detroit?
No, I definitely would not be looking to lay it here. If anything, I would lean to the Lions, but yeah, not with a strong conviction. You do remember that they still have David Blau playing quarterback, although I think that I would probably look to have a bet on the over in this game. The way Tampa has played this season, they get up and down, and surely Jameis is good for a few interceptions and giving the Lions short fields. What do you think?
Oh, for sure. I think he had a pick six last week. He's captain pick six, but I would probably stay away from this side personally, but the total sounds like something I'd be interested in. So, yeah, that seems a little light at 46. But, you know, maybe with Evans out of the lineup, they just don't have as much pop. I'm not sure. But Arians certainly is letting him chuck it, even though he's giving it up, you know.
Yeah, what is it, 28 interceptions now on the season?
Yeah, I think he's got, if I'm not mistaken, is it 33 touchdown passes and 28 interceptions? I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah, definitely.
That's horrible. So you're not going to win your bet, I don't think, on leading the league in interceptions.
No.
But, you know, what are you going to do? The next game is Denver, who's, you know, we talked about them in the contest as well. You know, they're 9.5-point dogs at Kansas City, total 45. You know, Denver crushed Houston. I was a little surprised by the outcome. I wasn't surprised that they could cover. They came out and rolled that team. Do you think that was just a kind of a flat spot for Houston, or do we think that, you know, Drew Lock is something to be had here in Denver?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both. It was definitely a flat spot coming off of the big Sunday night victory over New England the week before for the Texans. Mm-hmm. But Denver is playing some pretty serious defense right now. They scored a touchdown of their own in that first quarter, which really kind of set them off to that big lead. And, you know, Drew Lock has been serviceable. He's taken care of the football, which is all you can ask of a rookie. And I think this is probably a little bit too many points, personally. And You know, you have this Kansas City offense who appears to be a little hobbled, and Denver certainly should be able to stay within this number, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, you know, you're at Arrowhead. Now, granted, I actually really, on a fantasy side, I picked up the Texans defense against, you know, against Locke, thinking, okay, first road game, he's going to, you know, turn the ball over or whatever. He handled himself very well down there. Kansas City's home field advantage is a little bit better. But yeah, I would definitely lean to Denver at 9.5. I mean, it's a big number for any NFL team, especially with, like you said, with that defense. So
we can get to. And, you know, it's pushing 10 at a couple of places right now, looking at the odds screen. So there's always a chance the contest gives us a good juicy number there.
Well, the contest lines are out, right? This is Thursday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Should be looking at that. Sorry about that. I did have it up. I just was dreaming for a second. Let's see. Kansas City. It's 9.5.
Okay. So. All right.
It is 9.5. But, so, yeah, I mean, it's. I would love to see a 10, of course. The next game is, there's Houston. Houston are three-point dogs at Tennessee. The total's 51, nice high total. I know what you're probably going to say, but, you know, I've been on the Titans train many times this year, as you know, and I believe I did say before the season, if they went with Tannehill, this team could do it, and they did. The team's 6-1 with him at quarterback. Personally, from a pure an analytics and, you know, Homer side, I think the line's too light at 3. But I know you're going to say Houston because it's going to be a bounce back spot, right?
No, actually, I'm with you. I think that we should definitely look to ride this Tennessee team. Their offense has been phenomenal with Ryan Tannehill. I think I read again he had another huge passing day and is now leading the league in passer rating. So. Yeah. This offense has been high flying. They're going over totals left and right. And I don't see any reason that Houston should be able to hold them down. You also look at their defensive line and their rushing quarterbacks. So I like that defensive line, and I think that they should get some pressure on Watson. I think I'm on board with the Titans.
Okay, good. Remember the Titans. Keep going. I mean, would it change your mind at all if Henry is out for the game with his hamstring?
Yeah, definitely that would be something we should look at because he's obviously a huge focal point of their offense. So
he's amazing. So, okay, good to know. I mean, I'm on board again, so we'll see. The next one is Miami. They are getting 3.5 points at the Giants, total at 46.5. I don't know, man. The Giants, they played really great in the first half against Philly. I don't know if you saw that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely regressed back to sucking in the second half. They're going to be at home. The Dolphins have mostly covered numbers. This when they started Fitzpatrick, he's played well. I don't know what to think, though. It's hard to back either side. They're both bad teams, and, you know, I don't know if Miami's really going to play hard, you know what I mean, this late in the season. So, to me, it's a stay-away game. Not sure your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we should probably stay away. I wouldn't lean to the Dolphins, though. I have no interest in laying that many points with the Giants and Eli Manning presumably playing at quarterback again.
Yeah, he played good, like I said, in the first half. But second half, good old Eli, thrown in the ground all the time.
Yeah.
All right, next one. My Chicago Bears going to Green Bay. I have a friend, Aaron. I think you know Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And his buddies are going to the game up at Lambeau, so that's pretty exciting. They are in the contest. Let's see. I should be referencing the contest lines. Are they 4 points?
4.5.
4.5. So the 4.5-point dogs up in Green Bay. Action, it's a tough one for me, man. According to the WEGS Index, this line is way too heavy, but obviously it fights everything I am as a Bears fan because I know that A-Rod has killed us over the years. But this Packers team, their defense kind of sucks, so I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not saying we put our, you know, now it's 143 grand on the line here, but the Bears would be the pick here in the index.
Yeah, I think that you can definitely sign me up to go against the Packers again, and that's really what it comes down to here. I know that when you're betting on the Bears, you have to put your faith in Mitchell Trubisky, But he's been pretty good the last couple of weeks. He torched a pretty decent Lions defense, and maybe they're not so decent, but then last week he looked good as well. And now he's going off against a Green Bay defense, which is near the bottom of DVOA. So I have no reason to believe that the Bears won't be able to move the ball against them. And I think that you've got a pretty good spot, some revenge off the opening night game in Chicago when Green Bay came in and beat them pretty handily. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Chicago win this game outright, to be honest with you.
Right. I can see it. I mean, it's one of these things that the Packers have kind of, when you look at their metrics, they've kind of lived off the turnovers. They have a really high turnover differential with 11 on the season. And so if they don't get those turnovers, they just seem like they can't stop anybody. I mean, even Washington started moving the ball on them, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've played a little bit better with Haskins. But they're a weird team, the Packers. They have a really good record, but it's they're definitely, we talked about it, one of those teams in the playoffs I'm going to fade. But here we'll see if it could be a good contest pick for us. The next one, we've got Seattle. They are 6-point favorites on the road at Carolina. 49 points the total. I'm all over Seattle here, buddy. Carolina has mailed it in. They already fired their coach, which they should have, but they sucked last week. I know it's a pretty big line for a road team, especially coming off that big loss, and they've had some injuries. But, dude, this, you know, first of all, Seattle's got to keep winning, and Carolina, it looks like they don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like that they've mailed it in on the season, and you're right, now after that loss last week to the LA Rams, Seattle has something to fight for here and still looking for that division championship. So I do agree. I think that Carolina, and you also look at this Carolina run defense, they're almost dead last in DVOA against the run. And what does Seattle like to do? They like to run the ball. Penny did get hurt. It was another injury we didn't mention earlier. But Chris Carson has been running really well this season, and I expect he'll have a huge day against Carolina.
I agree. So we're on the same page there. Next one is New England at Cincinnati. The Natty, the Nasty. Cincinnati, New England is a 9.5-point favorite on the road. Total's 41.5. Cincinnati has played better with Dalton in the lineup, and New England isn't really scoring. But 10 points, I don't know, man. I know it's Cincinnati or pass, but it's a spot for me to go against New England because they seem to beat up on bad opponents this year.
Yeah, that's true. They have beaten a lot of bad teams, certainly early on in the season. But you also have to consider the angle of the another instance of the Patriots filming the Bengals sideline. Do you take that into an effect with your handicap? Belichick obviously has got some info on this team.
Yeah, yeah. So meaning that you'd back the Patriots?
Yeah, possibly. Consider it.
Yeah, I know. They said, oh, it was just for some non-related, football-related thing. Why would you videotape the Bengals? I mean, come on. They are the worst team in the league, man. But, yeah, I know. I don't know. I honestly, per the index, it's an index pick at 9. Is it 9.5 contest? Yeah.
9.5. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had it at 9 initially. I don't know. It's just tough. These Patriots, they're kind of driving me nuts this year because you don't know what to expect on offense with them. But we can certainly consider that.
Okay.
The next one is Philadelphia at Washington. Philadelphia is a 4.5-point road favorite here. The total is 39, super low total. The Eagles came back and are still in the mix. Boy, the NFC East is atrocious. That could be the worst division in football ever. You've got two teams below 500 at the top in Dallas and Philly. Neither team really wants to win this division. Philly should have lost to the Giants. Mm-hmm. Washington's been playing better. But I don't know if I could back Washington again. I know that we've done it. What do you think?
Well, I do agree that this is definitely going to be a Washington or pass kind of game. But part of me thinks that maybe we've rode the Washington train a little bit too long, and perhaps we should get off here before it falls off the tracks.
We should get off of Baltimore before we go off to Washington, huh?
Maybe. I mean, these guys, they still have Dwayne Haskins as their quarterback. And I think that Geis has been playing really well the last couple of weeks. And they do go against the Philadelphia defense, which has been somewhat mediocre this season. 16th ranked against the pass and 8th against the run, actually. But I'm not sure that I want to lay points with Philadelphia on the other side either. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a better stay away spot. I think Geis got hurt last week, actually. Oh. So he got his knee got dinged up again. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. Peterson played pretty well. But, yeah, he got hurt. He wasn't as, you know, the dynamic guy we were hoping for. Mm-hmm. But they still hung in there. You know? But, yeah, this was a stay away spot for me, even though the Eagles – they stink. I hope they don't make the – I hope none of those teams make the playoff, Dallas or the Eagles. They just kind of mail it in for a forfeit.
Yeah, I read somewhere the NFC East is like the ACC without Clemson.
Exactly. That's a good one. That's really good. That's funny. All right, well, let's go to the next one. Cleveland is 2.5-point favorite at Arizona. The total is 49. We talked about it last week. Cleveland still has something to play for, even though – Steelers keep winning, as does Tennessee. So they're behind those teams in the playoff race, but they can keep winning. They're playing Arizona, who gives up a lot of points. I know you're going to say it's a lot of points to lay on the road, but the Browns would be the side for me in this one.
The index likes the Browns here?
No, it's actually in line. It's not like I would be a index pick because it's in line with what it should be. But I just think in general – I think the Browns are going to win, and you know, I think Arizona's lost, what, 6 straight or something like that?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. They've been on a pretty serious tumble, and although they did keep it pretty close with Pittsburgh last week, I do think that I agree would probably lean towards Cleveland here, but this one kind of baffles me a little bit. I'm not sure that I see the Cleveland Browns getting up again for this game this weekend, right. And I would probably be more inclined to pass, to be honest.
Okay. No problem. No problem with that. Can't back the Brownies every week. The next one is Jacksonville at Oakland. Oakland is a heavy 6.5-point favorite in this one. Now, I understand why. This is the last game to be played in the Oakland Coliseum for the Raiders before they go to Las Vegas. And but Jacksonville has mailed it in as well. Mm-hmm. So per the index, it doesn't make sense at all because these teams are basically really close together in the index. But I understand why the Raiders are favored, and I think I might even bet this game already. I do believe that the Raiders are going to win. 6.5 is just a lot of points.
Yeah, it's definitely clear that Jacksonville has quit on the season. They have now lost their last 5 games by more than 17 points, was the shortest margin. And they are failing to cover by a wide, wide margin as well. 14 was the closest they came to the spread in those 5 games. On the flip side, though, Oakland has been pretty bad, too. 4 games in a row where they failed to cover. And you do have that motivational edge of the last home game in Oakland. But do you figure that's already built into the line here, and that's why you're seeing such a high number?
Yes, I do. I think this line should be 3 or 3.5. In a normal situation. So, yeah, they baked in an extra 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting one. I'm not sure that I can back either of these teams, though, in this situation.
Right, right. Money's on the line, action. Come on now.
We got to be more picky.
That's right. Next game is Minnesota is playing at the Chargers. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorites on the road. 45.5 is the total. Yeah, I don't know, man. This is a tough spot for me. I don't like the Vikings on the road here. I think that when I look at it kind of empirically, you would take the Vikings. They're a better team. They're better in the index and so on. But the Chargers defense is sneakily pretty good, actually. And as good as Kirk has played in some spots, this pass rush is no joke. And I don't see them – I think this total's a little high, too. So – I don't know, man. I don't think I could back the Vikings in this spot, and I'm not sure your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. This is definitely a very tough spot for Minnesota. And the Chargers played really well last week against, although a team that quit in Jacksonville. I do agree. I think the total's a little high. You've got a Chargers team who is very, very heavy to the under this season. And Minnesota likes to play defense as well. So I'm not sure that I would want to play this one, but if we had to, I would definitely lean to the Chargers side, getting points at home.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you there. So yeah, I mean, it can be a consideration, the Chargers. It's just hard, man. Fucking Phillip Rivers, dude. That
Yeah.
guy sucks. Bum. Like, he played last week, he had against the Jacksonville. What do you have? Five touchdown passes? He was incredible. But this will be the week he throws three pick sixes,
Yeah, very well could happen.
All right, next game, Atlanta at San Francisco. San Francisco is a 10.5 point favorite at home, with 28, or sorry, 48 being the total. The Niners have played the gauntlet, right? They went to Baltimore, and they obviously played Seattle a couple weeks ago. Then they played at the Saints. They really acquitted themselves well. They're going to get back home. Atlanta's played okay. 10.5 is just too much. If this was like a 9 or 8 or 9 point game, I'd be all over this game. But 10.5 is just a lot to lay, and I do think they're the better team, and it's in line with the index. But what do you think?
Yeah, definitely agree. This is just too many points to lay for our contest life. And although I think San Francisco is the much better team, it's just a really horrible spot. They had the last 2 weeks they played against Baltimore and then the Saints in that shootout and two really physical games. So I think this certainly lines up to be a letdown spot for San Francisco. Not sure that I want to bet on Atlanta though, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, they kind of stink too without Calvin Ridley. I mean, they get very one-dimensional with Julio Jones. So yeah, I guess just another stay away spot. We got a lot of stay aways this week, action.
I know.
Got to make some decisions. So
We'll find some winners.
here we go. Maybe a winner here. The Rams in the contest, they're 1.5 point favorites at Dallas, total 49. Really interesting game here. Dallas has just cratered, and we've talked about the Clapper many times. They talk about him on VSiN all the time. He's the worst coach. Should have fired him like 2 weeks ago, and maybe this team would have responded. It feels like they've quit on him. The Rams have bounced back. I backed the Rams here. I was really backing him when it was a pick early in the week, but now up to 1.5, I guess it's pretty close to a pick. I don't know. Can you get on board with the Rams?
Yeah, I probably can. I mean, crazy line move in this one. It seems that the odds makers really dropped the ball by opening the Cowboys a 4-point favorite in this game, and they just got hammered with Rams money. Now out to 1.5, even a 2 in one offshore spot. So certainly seems like everyone's lining up to back the Rams this week, and I think I could probably get on board with that. Is that a Wags Index pick there too?
Yes, it is. When it was even was at one, it is a Wags Index pick. Because, it's funny. Actually, I take that back. Let's see.
Well, because Dallas is
No,
pretty high, yeah.
technically Dallas is the pick. So, it's technically Dallas is the pick in the index. Like I said, I'll list the index picks. But yeah, it's a little scary there. A little scary.
Yeah, perhaps
It's hard to
something.
back.
I would be interested to see how the Rams' defensive numbers line up with how the Cowboys have been performing on offense recently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess we can see. That'll be one of those last picks that we've got to make a decision on,
Yeah, we'll pencil that one in.
Okay. Let's see. We got Buffalo against Pittsburgh. This is a Sunday night matchup, big matchup. Buffalo's a 1.5 point dog on the road at Pittsburgh. Total very low at 36. Really a well-priced game, I think. You know what I mean? Buffalo's good. So are the Steelers. Obviously, it shows that the Bills would be better on a neutral field. These teams are not that far off in the index. The Bills are a little bit better. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I can make a side on this one. Would you like the Steelers again?
Quack, quack, Wags. Yeah.
Duck Dynasty.
I think that
Like
we need
that.
to ride our man, Duck. This guy
Exactly.
is not blowing anybody out of the water, but he is exactly what the Steelers need at quarterback right now. This defense is hot beyond all measure, and I'm not sure that Josh Allen and the Bills are an offense that are equipped to move the ball on them. So I like this game a lot, and if we're getting under a field goal, which we currently are, I'm going to be on the Steelers once again, without a doubt. What do you think? Awesome.
Well, I mean, look, here's what I'm going to say. I've dogged Mike Tomlin many times before, maybe not even on this podcast, maybe just in casual conversation. This is his best coaching year by far, and he's got this team believing they can win. They really are in control of their own destiny here. They win this game, they're essentially in the playoffs, right? And I think that he's got them motivated. You know, a younger group of players, he got rid of all those guys from the past, Brown and Bell and all that. And this defense is totally legit. So I can see us backing, especially, you know, if the Steelers, all they have to do is win the game, basically, right?
Yep.
1.5. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm down with Duck, man. I'm down.
And you also have to consider, when is the last time this Buffalo Bills team has played on Sunday Night Football on a stage like that? You've got one team who's seasoned in the Pittsburgh Steelers going off against the debutante. You got to figure they're going to have the lights in their eyes on Sunday night.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they played good on Thanksgiving, but that wasn't technically a primetime game. So you're right. I mean, I root for the Bills, you know, generally just because they're kind of that rough and tumble team. I think McDermott's a hell of a coach. Mm-hmm. But, man, the total tells you that this is going to be rough, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
It's going to be a slugfest.
And I'm telling you, I'm all for you, us winning the $143,000 and you wearing your Hodges jersey. That's my goal in my whole life.
Let's do it.
All right, got it. So, all right, we got one more game here. That's Indy against New Orleans. New Orleans is an 8.5-point favorite. 46.5 is the total. I got a question for you. What happened to the New Orleans defense that was good early in this year? What the hell?
Wow, that is a great question.
They were so good, and then it seems like the last few weeks they have just fallen off the rails since Breeze came back. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just nuts, you know?
Yeah, this one is really confounding to me. I think that on its surface, 8.5 points is way too many for a Colts team who is not that bad. And certainly capable of scoring and keeping this game close. And I think that they can have some success against that New Orleans offense as well. So certainly seems like a lot of points, but the line definitely tells you a story, which gives me a little pause, to be completely honest.
Right, exactly. So I'm worried, you know, T.Y. Hilton, apparently, is he ever going to come back? I thought the Colts could make the playoffs, but it seems like they're not really interested in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Monday Night Football, you know, the Saints crowd is going to be raucous. It's a stay away spot, dude. I mean, 8.5 is a huge total or a huge number, but I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. And I did read that T.Y. wants to play this season. He said that he doesn't want to let his teammates down, but it doesn't look like he's going to be back this week. And certainly something that has me leaning away from the Colts. When he's not on the field, they perform much less.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a totally different offense with when he's off out there. They can't score at the same clip. And, you know, Brissett's had a good year, a solid year, but it does seem like he's, you know, regressing, but he's just not making as many plays. And they don't have as many weapons, you know, besides T.Y., you know, Ebron got hurt. It's just a different offense. So,
yep.
I'm not trying to talk myself into the Saints, but it's just, it is unique.
Yeah, definitely too many points to lay, though, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've definitely got some options for our contest. We've got some solids, and then we've got some leans. So we'll talk again Saturday and figure out which way we're going to go. But let's keep this train rolling, baby. I want us to win some cash here.
Yeah, another 5-0 week would be massive for our chances going into the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no question. Just to review the index picks, again, not endorsed by Weggs directly, but the index itself. Guy. Seattle laying the 6 at Carolina. You've got Washington getting the 4.5 against Philadelphia. Tennessee laying the 3 against Houston. You have Dallas. I guess they are getting the 1 against the Rams. I've got the Patriots laying the 9 against Cincinnati. And then finally the Bears getting 4.5 at Green Bay. So that's the 6 index picks this week. We'll see. Last week, not so great, 3-3, but it's been pretty good over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So.
Wow, it's a good thing we were able to pick out the few winners in that 3-3.
No doubt. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there were a couple off-the-board ones like Washington. So that's what it takes to win this contest, Action.
That's right.
Going off the board. I give you credit for that. So that and your Duck Dynasty. Well, yes, we'll figure out our holiday schedule, everybody. Hopefully we'll keep you informed of all the bowl games. And then we still have, you know, the contest picks we got to do each week. Before we change formats to college basketball, probably in, you know, more like in January or something. Mm-hmm. So we've got plenty ahead, and hopefully you guys are picking some winners yourselves, you know?
Yeah, hopefully we can keep this streak going and roll into next week and be talking about a 14-1 entry.
Oh, man. If that happens, I'm going to be so excited. But anyway, one step at a time, so... All right. Well, thanks for everybody for listening to us to the Side Action Podcast. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram, and follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Till next week.
Peace out, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.